Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, how do you defend yourself? What is your favorite defense? Record and listen. And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Linda Joy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Linda Joy.
I'm using my new earphone, so I've never done this before on the phone. I got my Bluetooth.
Well, you sound good.
Good. I'm so happy to be back. I've been 3 weeks in England, and it was awesome, and I thought about trying to hook into you guys, and it just was too complicated, so I've been away a while. And I'm so happy to be back, and yesterday was awesome. It was amazing to hear people talk, and the things going on in the world are just so scary right now and just so awful. It felt good to be home, to be with Sangha, and to just hear people share the way they did yesterday. And you too, Sherry, it made me feel so good to know that we're together in that, in all of it, mm-hmm. no matter how it looks. So mm-hmm. I want to thank you guys for being there.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad you're here. And this morning, I just finished a newsletter article that I hope continues the conversation. Because
yes.
It's interesting that we're in this defensive, you know, how do we defend ourselves? And
I know.
How do we try to protect ourselves? And so I hope this little newsletter article continues our exploration of listening to voices try to talk us into their version of how to be all right is not where we want to go as practitioners of awareness
yes.
practice and spirituality. Yeah.
Yeah. The prayer I sat here and said after finishing the call yesterday was that to know that I cannot change the world. I have to change who I am from the inside and come to the world with unconditional love and know that what is mine to do will come to me.
Yes.
And that's hard.
Yes.
That's hard to
yes.
know that. I can't just go running
that.
Out there and getting mad at everybody. But
right.
I'm beginning to trust that and beginning to see that, yes, that does happen in my life. When I can let
mm-hmm.
go and go slow and to pay attention and to do my practice and to call in on the mornings and to do whatever I need to do to keep me centered.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I believe that. I believe that exactly what I need will come to me.
Yes.
And what I need
yes.
to do will come to me also. So
yes.
I just wanted to put that out this morning.
Yeah, when we're here, then we can hear that guidance. And we can say
mm-hmm.
yes to it. And when a voice comes in to say, well, yeah, but we recognize that voice for what it is. And we can take the, Ashwini used that image, I think it was yesterday, that is a favorite of mine, of the starfish, you know, that
mm-hmm.
we can't
mm-hmm.
save every
oh, I love
starfish
that story.
On the beach. But the mm-hmm. one that we attend to makes all the difference for that one. And that's here we are in this. How can we participate?
How can we
get out of ego isolation? And as you say, practice coming from unconditional love to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what came up for me was, for the answer to the question today is how do I deal with, you know, being defensive, I shut down. And I think that's interesting with the conversation we're having, you know,
yes.
that my first instinct is to shut down, you know. And
yeah.
and what's more interesting is this Sunday I'm going to be the practitioner of the day at my spiritual center. And part of me goes, oh, no, I'm like, you know, feeling like this. But you know what? I know after listening to the show yesterday and after all the practice I've been doing in the last few years even, that I'm going to get up there and I'm going to just let it come through me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to practice my prayer because I'm going to be more nervous. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to just stand up there in front of the congregation and say, you know, what comes through me, it won't be about me. It will. I want to thank you guys.
To step out there and trust that process. There's a very tangible, concrete way to do it. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
I want to thank you. Linda, it's like everything's falling in place for me, and it'll be beautiful. And I just can't even say how grateful I am for you two being there every morning. Ashwani and Sherry, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are
deep
so welcome.
Down.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to see you next time.
Okay. We're around, so come and see us.
And we'll go happy.
And we'll go happy. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. Joy. It is so true, Sherry, that that's a process we train with, which is to get out of the conversation enough that we can be present to what is being told to us that we can actually do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, to recognize it and not fall for the, but. No, but. Because here we are practicing showing up in unconditional love. That's it. You know, when we do that, there'll be plenty of ways for us to participate and contribute. Plenty of ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Ladima in Indiana.
Hello, Ladima.
Hey, Ladima.
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. So what I noticed about this question is when someone else does something different than I do, or the way that I do it, there's a voice in my head that either criticizes the other person or criticizes me for not doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
who's right? Who's wrong? Figure that out, and we know who to judge and criticize. Yep, that's the way.
And so, and you know, I just, this question was timely because, you know, when do you get defensive, or what do you do when you get defensive? And it was someone else did something different than I did at work, and I got all, you know, started to get like, and so I was able to see that happening, which is a lot of
good.
Not even aware of it.
Yep. So that's a huge step, isn't it? I'm watching it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly.
And then you saw the process, right? You saw how you're meant not to be aware of all of that.
Yeah.
And
right.
just go into the conditioned judgment and criticism and defensiveness, the shutting down, the going away, the often conditioned mind with that conversation, but you saw the whole thing, so you didn't have to do that.
Right. Yes. And in that moment, and, you know, the exciting part is that, you know, now that I've seen it once, I have more of an opportunity to keep seeing it.
That's right. You're going to recognize it in other places. Yes.
Yeah.
And I love it that you use the word exciting because it is exciting, and not to ego. For ego, that the same set of sensations is dread. But for the aware human, it's exciting.
Yes. Yes.
Smell of freedom.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that and the recording and listening of a different voice over my shoulder saying good things to me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That changes everything, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, the main thing that what I just saw when you said that is generosity. You know, in that previous ego-identified system, only one of us is going to survive. Either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong, and it's a battle to the death. But once we see that that system is doing all of that and that none of it is true, then there's a generosity. You know, you don't want the other person to feel wrong or bad.
Right, yes.
We just don't want that for anybody.
Right. Right. That's where it's not personal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want, it's like, I may not feel love for that other person necessarily, but it's, I want to have that love in general.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, and
making,
you can tell.
Maybe not making sense, but, you know.
Well, you can tell you're on the way to it. That as the impersonal nature of this grows in our awareness, as our awareness of the impersonal nature of this grows, then there can be love for that person, because we start seeing, well, that person is just like me. They're just trapped in this, trying to be the right person, afraid of getting it wrong. If they're wrong, they're not going to be loved. They're not going to survive. Oh my God! I don't want any. I don't want anybody to be in that place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a process.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to be there first rattle out of the box.
Right. And we probably won't get it perfect every time. Definitely won't get it perfect every time, but, you know, more often.
That's right. We're closing in on
hope.
It. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And we don't even have to hope. We know it's true.
Yeah.
We keep paying attention. We keep seeing it. Yeah. All right. Kind of exciting to go to work, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ladima.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Ladima. The thing that dropped in about that defense, Sherry, is that there is no surprise. We are defensive if what we experience most of the time is negation and judgment.
Yeah, we're under attack.
And so, we're under attack. And so we are defended all the time. And and as you were pointing out, and Ladima was talking about it, it requires a great deal of being able to recognize that we are at the end of a process. We're subject to a process that we don't need to be subject to.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with us. As a consequence of which, we can get to a recognition of it's not personal, and so from that place, be able to recognize how it's not personal anywhere.
Yes. Yeah. So. Getting it that I'm not under attack from you or from him or her or them or that. I'm under attack from that conversation in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm under attack from it, and it's making me defensive against you and him and her and them and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah,
it creates the orientation of being defended.
Yeah, and right, yeah. It's just that we're defended against the wrong thing, support
That's
of
right.
the wrong thing.
Yeah. And I love that it's such a big, such a big transformative place when you get that love is not a feeling, and that love is without object. Because it's possible only to, as you were pointing out, it's not love of another person, because what that translates into after love and ego behavior, and I don't need to love ego. That in the absence of the ego, there is no person to love, because then I'm just in love as a process.
Mm-hmm. And there's this manifestation of life.
Yeah.
Right. There's this manifestation of life that is a part of that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Jerry. This is Therese.
Hi.
Hi, Ashwini.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. It just, you give no warning. All of a sudden, you're just on. And it was so great, because literally right before it said you could ask your question now, I thought, I am never going to get on this show. It's just like, the whole thing was going on in my head, and all of a sudden it said, you can ask your question. So I love it. Oh, my gosh. Now I see why people are like, oh, I got on, Anyway. And it's great.
I love the image of being called out of what you can see is a defensive conversation. Right, that ego is making a case for, oh, they probably hate me. They probably know who I am, and they've got a big black mark next to my name, and this is never. Oh,
totally.
I'm on.
Oh, they saw my phone number, and they know. Don't pick that. Of course. Oh, that is awesome. I love it. Because I was just with my family of origin for 5 days, which, wow, if that isn't a lesson or a practice in defensiveness, I don't know what it is. I was just, like, yesterday, that was great, because that was the first day being back from it. So just sitting with, kind of processing how, actually de-armoring, I feel like, is what I was doing as I watched how much defense had gone up. Right? It was like the line of attack had been put up, and I was just disassembling yesterday.
Mm.
Interesting.
Taking the weapons and putting them back in the armory. Now, if we stay with that image, what we don't want to do is clean those weapons, take them all apart, clean them, in a good military kind of way. What I like to do, of course, is just toss them in the recycling bin. But
Right. And it was so interesting. I mean, I was listening to NPR yesterday, and they were, talking about North Korea and, the weapons. And I thought, I've got my own, I was just really owning that projection of, okay, they literally have them, and I literally have them.
Yeah.
So it was this kind of looking at, what's my line of defense? What are my nuclear warheads that I put out there?
And it's easy when you break it down the way you are to understand why nobody is eager to let go their weapons.
Right.
So here we are thinking, well, everybody but us should give up their armaments. And, then we step back and go, really? what kind of a fool would want to do that? And that's what we're up against, as you're pointing out, internally, right? So I have these weapons, and I'm supposed to drop them because I'm going to be safe with you people?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, even as you're just saying that, I just see how I do that with my family. It's like even getting ready to go down there, it's like the armor starts to get, it's like I already planned my attack of, how am I going to take care of this person so that I, and what do I need to say, and what do I need, and
because you know how they're going to be. You know how they're going to be. And we get the stories. Well, and he's does this, and then and she, and it's always been. And now suddenly I'm, 6 years old, and I'm getting a review of all of the ways that they let me down, and how wrong they are, and how they've hurt me, and here comes the arsenal. Right. Yeah. And then we wonder why these visits don't go well. And so to continue in the conversation that we've been having, the our work, of course, is to be able to see that for what it is, and mm-hmm. as difficult as it is, know that what we're going to do is choose unconditional love.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and that's what's so interesting, because there were moments while I was there and then just yesterday too, dropping in of just seeing there was vulnerability, like watching how that's what the defense is from vulnerability, mm-hmm. right? Like that, I don't know why that word was coming up, but there's some, and then taking a sneak peek at today of, you know, it kind of feels tied together yesterday and today, but this whole idea that, you know, being right and holding my position and mm-hmm. somehow defending something that feels very vulnerable, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
like we had an incident in the airport that was clearly racial profiling against my husband because of his skin color. And man, did my just big bear come out. Like, I just looked at that security guard and I was like, what? No, because he got singled out to go in that like special line for being going through
uh-huh.
security. And I
uh-huh.
looked at him and I go, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, is he with you? And I said, yes, he is. He just goes, oh. And then I just looked at him
wow.
and I said, well, if that isn't racial profiling, I don't know what is. And then I just kind of kept going. My husband's like, let's keep going. Let's just keep going. And I just watched it rear, uh-huh. like, roar up, like, oh, no, you don't, you know, to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and it was, and, you know, now I look back and it's a little scary because from that place, there's not a lot of compassion and kindness for that other person at all. And you're right.
Right.
I see how that can happen because
yeah.
I just got so like, you did not just do that.
Right.
Because he's the only dark skinned person in this airport, you know? And wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
so
it's just, it's a picture on all sides, isn't it? It's a
mm-hmm.
picture on all sides because, this guy doesn't know your husband.
Right.
You know? And this guy is trained to be afraid of certain people who look a certain way. I laugh. I laugh because I've hit an age now where all of those folks who are in charge of protecting all of us assume
right.
I'm harmless.
Right.
And I
without
years of spiritual practice, I would have been, even at this age, a perfect candidate to do great damage, right?
Yeah.
But the assumption that your husband has dark skin, he's dangerous. This
mm-hmm.
this person we perceive as a little old lady, she's not going to hurt anybody. And
right.
and just the it's such a picture of the ignorance that we're up against.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh.
And
yep.
and that inability to see. So you know your husband. You know he's a great person, right? That guy doesn't know
mm-hmm.
him. You don't know that guy.
I don't know that
right?
guy.
So what he had going, what his experience is, what his fears are.
Yeah.
You know, what if he's the guy who lets the terrorist through security? You know, so we just step back and see how this same process is operating
mm-hmm.
in all of us.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
how do we get begin this process of looking at those weapons and saying, no, I don't need that one. That one can go in recycling.
Right. And really what was dropping in was around this just us and them mentality. You know,
yes.
And what would it have been like to just sort of say, yeah, he is with me. You know, that's my husband. And not have,
yeah.
and
you can even
but
ask,
I could,
and, so, and he's a great human being.
Right. You know, like just, it's so interesting. Wow, that's a lot. That's great to look at because this whole protecting, like this sense of wanting to protect something. Right, and that's what everyone's trying to. I guess that
yes.
I'm projecting that
yes.
that was his experience. He's trying to protect
yes.
the whatever,
yes, exactly.
like you said, you know. And yet, when
yeah.
it hits that close to home, because it's happened
yeah.
so many times, and
yeah.
that I just get to walk through because I have blonde hair and white skin, and yet this person standing right next to me, they don't, they don't, you know, there's no courtesy there.
Right. There's no assumption of innocence.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And there's just, I just noticed there's a lot of sadness. There's just so, there's a little sadness with that. Like, that's what's going on all the time. And so, what will that feel like to break that down? And,
Right. And Therese, if we take it to the next, you know, to the one that's even happening today, you have children that you adore, and to think about being in a place like that and having someone just come and pick up your children and walk off with them, not knowing if you're ever going to see them again. This is the level of empathy that we need to tap into. And it's really hard and sad and scary and painful, and it's where we got to go. If we're really going to all be in this together, doing the best we can for all of us to find and feel that love that makes us want to be loving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, glad you're here. Glad that system unmuted you, for heaven's sake.
Oh, no. Wow. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Therese. And I'll show you the two things that dropped in for me around that call, around that conversation, was the first, where it really, really has to start by seeing how it works.
Yes.
There's no other way, because otherwise you're in it. There's no ability to have sufficient distance not to be reactive. And so the training to pay attention to see is really the only place it starts. And that, you know, that the ability to get to the place of looking at what is arising from me in fear that's producing exactly the same response as what's arising in someone from fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my experience, it doesn't negate that it can also be someone else's experience, that we're having the same experience, because the conditioned process is to differentiate the reactions, right? And so it feels different and creates that sense of self and other, but it's actually the same process. But until we can see it as the same process, we cannot get to the place of compassion to have a choice about how we respond.
Yes, and the thing that, to me, that goes hand in hand with what you're saying, is that it's critical that we understand that what's going on with me in the way that you're describing has nothing to do with me. You know, the first critical step is to realize that that system is not who we are. And when I can, when I really get it, that it's not who I am, then I know it's not who anybody else is either. But until then, if I believe on any level that this is me, these are my thoughts, my feelings, my reactions, my wishes, my desires, if I believe that ego system is me on any level, I'm going to believe it's you too. And I'm going to hold you responsible and blame you and judge you and criticize you and want to punish you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so true, Sherry, and I think that that's the second place where that to me is why the foundation of this practice is going beyond self-hate, because if I recognize that and then get hit with a ton of feeling bad, then I'm right back to owning, being the person who's having all of those experiences. It's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
And so that, you know, it's just, it what's magnificent about where we start in this practice is to recognize that what is making us feel bad is what's causing us to own the system to be who we are.
Yes. Yes, but it's all the same system, all the same process. And trying to parse out what is me and what is it is just never going to get us anywhere.
Yeah. It's a complex web it weaves, so parsing it is never possible. But it would love us to just spend the rest of our lives doing that.
Yes, yes, yes. Identified with ego, attempting to parse the ego system. No.
Yeah.
What we can
best
do
way
is
never to know what we are.
That's right. What we can do is practice directing attention to choosing the unconditional and trusting the intelligence animating us to inform us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never figure anything out, but if we're here, we will be informed.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And the assignment for today is, what are you most insecure about? Record and listen.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy and treasure yourself. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.